Okay. Today, I've chosen 2 Samuel 18, 31 through 33. And Chris read a scripture from 2 Samuel 17, which I didn't know she's going to be using that one. But it's in the same text as what I'll be sharing. The whole story and narrative of this message actually takes place from 2 Samuel chapter 13 through 18. Now, I'm not going to cover all of those chapters today, but just three verses from chapter 18, verse 31 through 33. This being Father's Day, I want to share a message concerning God's love. And in this particular scripture today, we're going to learn of King David. He had a son, Absalom. And, well, he had more than one son, but Absalom was the third son. And his name, Absalom, means father of peace. Now, if you read the context of chapter 13 through 18, you wouldn't see that as a meaning of Absalom, far as his name is concerned. It's also can be seen as David's. Of course, we're not supposed to have favorites, right? In our families, we might have one. I mean, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 12 children, but we're not to pick favorites. But also, David's. I guess as you read in the text, his favorite son was Absalom, his third child. And Absalom is one that gave him all the grief and trouble and sorrow. And but that was David's love, you know. David was a man after God's own heart. And he loved Absalom so much. And he did everything he could to show that love. But there was underlying circumstances. So if you read chapter 13 through 18, you will see the whole narrative of what took place and reason Absalom took the course he took, but David at the same time tried to reel him in and show his love. So, let's look first of all at verse 31. I'll read these three verses and then try to put this together, but showing the love that we as fathers are to imitate Christ's love. And if we do that, then we can have the love like David had towards Absalom. Okay, behold, the Cushite arrived, and the Cushite said, "Let my lord, the king, receive good news. For the Lord has freed you this day from the hand of all of those who rose up against you." Then the king said to Cushite, "Is it well with the young man, Absalom?" And Cushite answered, "Let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man." The king was deeply moved, and this is King David. The king was deeply moved and went up to the chambers over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, I would have died instead of you. O Absalom, my son." See the deep grief and sorrow that David had, knowing that got the word that his son Absalom, who went up against him with his own army and was defeated. Now, as we look at this particular text, and today is Father's Day, and what I want to talk about is the great love that we have access to with our Heavenly Father. A love so great that it is willing to sacrifice itself for our spiritual well-being. And this is the love every father should imitate, the love of the Father. And a good scripture for this is taken from John chapter 15, 13, which says, greater love has no one than this. Now grasp that picture right there. Real greater love hath no one than this, and to lay down one's life for his friends. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Also, in that last verse we read, in verse 33, where David said, I would have given my life for you, Absalom. Now, and this is the kind of love that our Heavenly Father has for each one of us, because he did send his Son into this world and lay down his life for each one of us. So our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son into this world that we might have eternal life, and he took our place. So I have entitled our message today, Jesus Died in Our Place. And so, and this message presents what I would call the basic truths that we have to come to understand in order to receive Jesus as our personal Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, to be a father, a godly father, we need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. David was a man after God's own heart. He had that relationship with the Father. He understood. He spoke with him. He was led by the Spirit of God. Now, he wasn't perfect, and his family wasn't perfect. There's not any perfect families in this world today because of sin entered this world back in the Garden of Eden, and that's where all the things that happened in this world was initiated from that. But, you know, let's look at the father mourns for his child. And I want to give you the whole picture from chapter 13 through 18. And here we see that King David mourned for his son Absalom, who was killed in battle. Now, and that's chapters 17 and 18. So Absalom was killed in battle, that he fought against his own father. King David fought against his own father. And Absalom was killed in battle. So he rebelled against his father, David, by turning the hearts of the people who David ruled. He turned the hearts of the people against David. And he would stand in the city gates each and every day, and when someone would come to dispute or settle an argument or something before the king, Absalom would be there at the gate and would turn the people away and say, there was no one from the king available to hear your case. Now, Absalom took the liberty of passing judgment on the cases by himself, and his judgment was always in favor of the people. No matter if it was good or bad, he always turned the judgment in their favor. Now, Absalom then stated, oh, that I were made judge in the land. Of course, his dad, King David, was the king and the judge. But he was saying, if I was the judge and everyone who has any suit and cause would come to me, then I would give him justice. 2 Samuel 15, 4. So we read, whenever someone would come to bow down before Absalom, that he didn't allow that, but he would embrace him and he would kiss him instead. And the scripture says, in this manner, Absalom acted towards all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And that's chapter 15, 6. Now, Absalom, he gained great following of Israel. That was his desire, and that's what he did. And both his and David's men came face to face in a showdown where Absalom lost the battle and was killed. And Absalom, he was a traitor, sad to say, and he rebelled. And his father still loved him and mourned for him. So the story of Absalom's rebellion against his father, King David, is one of the most dynamic and tragic narratives in the Old Testament. From chapter 13 through chapter 18, please take time today or this week and read that, and you'll understand better about the lives in the Old Testament, how it related then and how we see things today and how we can change the way that we think and show our love like Christ and imitate his love, just like David. He loved his son Absalom tremendously with love. Now, Absalom's rebellion against King David was a result of a combination of many, many things: personal grievousness, political ambitions, and unresolved family tensions. And you can read all about that in those chapters. So it's a story that speaks of human conditions, and we all know about human conditions, don't we? Whether it be personal, whether it be family, political, governmental, or whatever in this world. And it speaks of human conditions, the need of justice, and the complexities of leadership and governance. So through this narrative, we are reminded of the importance of addressing sin, injustice, the necessity of a genuine reconciliation and forgiveness. And thank God, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us of all of that. Now, when David went against his son Absalom in battle, and that was a dreadful day for David. And he gives strict commands to his commanding officer, which was Joab, to not harm Absalom at all. But if you read the story, Absalom's riding along on his donkey or mule, and a limb caught his hair. He had real long hair. Absalom was the most handsome person of that day. You know, David was when he was a young lad, but Absalom was handsome among all the men in Israel in that day. And when that branch caught his hair, he had long hair, he was hanging there, and Joab saw him and then took his life. And that's when it got back to David what had happened. So, but the love of David for his son never ended. Next, let's look at the Heavenly Father's mourns for us in the same manner because of our lives and our conditions and situations in our lives. Just as David mourned for his son Absalom, God mourns for his lost sons and daughters who are without Jesus Christ and who are living in sin and destined to die. We all are in this world today. In fact, the Father pursues us according to Revelation chapter 3:20. And this is a particular scripture that was laid upon David's heart to bring the people of that day back to the Heavenly Father to restore a relationship that they had lost because they had drifted. And that's why John says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come in and fellowship with him, and he with me." Now, David is talking to Christian, but what a good verse that we be reminded of. If there's anyone lost and knows that Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is knocking on your heart's door, today or any day is a good time to receive him as their personal Savior. Now, we also read in 2 Peter 3:9 that our Heavenly Father says he's long-suffering. Aren't you glad God's patient? I'm glad he's patient with me. And he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Absalom may have been David's son. Nevertheless, he rebelled against the king, and this was a crime worthy of death in that day. Aren't you glad it's not that way now? Oh my. But it was then in the Old Testament. And however, we see the king, or his father David, still love Absalom, his son. He loved him so deeply that he was willing to give his own life or die in his place. So there's nothing that we have done that is so bad that our Heavenly Father will not forgive us as well. And we know our sins. We've been told that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing, according to this scripture, can separate us. And that's another good chapter. Chapter 8 of Romans gives us, Paul gives us, that we don't have anything to fear, that God loves us. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. It doesn't matter. God loves us in spite of our sins, our shortcomings. Matter of fact, he has that agape love, that unconditional love. And that's the unconditional love that David had for his own son, Absalom, even though he rebelled and he was a rebel in that day, he still loved him the same. And also the Bible teaches us, too, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us while in that we were sinners, Christ died for us. So, while we was going along, having a good time, enjoying ourselves, and doing what we want to do, not even giving it much thought of what we was doing, Christ still came into this world and died for our sins. That's that love that we need in our lives today. Everybody needs it. See, God does not approve of our sin, but he loves us while we are sinners, and he died for us. So, and we can come before him just as we are, repent and ask forgiveness sincerely from the heart, and he will forgive us. So now let's look at, he is willing to die in our place, and he did die in our place. And the scripture says that Christ came willingly, joyfully. Now, we know when he was on the cross, he cried out, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? He didn't want to be separated from the Father's at any time in his life, but he knew because of the sins of the world that we had placed upon him, that he had to die in our place. So when we look in verse 33 here, David cried out, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place." We see Christ died in our place. See, that's a good example. Even though David wasn't perfect, you know, but he was a man after God's own heart. He loved his son because he knew his father the Heavenly Father loved him. And a good chapter to read, now that's Psalms 23. That's why David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he knew that that was enough for him because of his great love for him. How many of us as parents, and you, I want you to think about this today, and I give it much thought myself, because we love our children, we love them, you know, in spite of themselves sometimes, right? From when they're born till they grow up and move on, get married on their own lives. I know, especially my mother, I know where this is Father's Day, but my mother, my goodness, she was telling me what to do to the day that she went to be with the Lord. You know, telling me, yeah, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I said, well, are you doing that? She said, no, but you need to do that. I said, well, I'm just following your example. I'll just keep on going, just like you have. But, you know, it's important for us to respect and honor our parents and so forth. And that's the love of Christ when we do that. Yeah, if one of our us found ourselves like in a hostile mission field, and natives captured our families, insisted that one of our members of our family be punished, and then they selected one of our children, I'm pretty sure that we would strongly insist that they take us instead in their place. David would have died for Absalom. However, Absalom had already perished, suffered a physical death, and there was, and he knew, was not coming back. And what I want to point out this morning, as I'm closing here, a few minutes, that our Heavenly Father feels the same way about us. He really does. You know, it's all about Jesus Christ. And we hear Jesus Christ mentioned in the world, but in our setting today, and when we're reading the Word of God, you know, it's all about Him and what He did for us. And this is a practical application for each one of us. Not only as dad, but as parents and individuals to understand, you know, life conditions, they happen and so forth. But we need to remember Christ suffered more pain, anguish, and suffering more than any of us will ever face. And that's why we need to focus so much on Him and what He did for us. And He is the cure for all of this. He is the cure. So that is my focus, that, you know, the death that He freed us from is spiritual death. We're all going to die one of these days. But He freed us from the spiritual death. Even as we are already dead in our sins, we were brought back to life from this type of death. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses of sin." He made you alive. When we trusted Him as our Savior, He made you alive. Now, if you don't have life in Christ, you can have. And in Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 5, we are told, "But God is rich in mercy, because His great love with which He loved us." And then verse 5, "Even when we were dead in trespasses of sin, He made us alive together with Him," Christ. Another one I didn't think about it, it just came to my mind, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If we be in Christ, we are a new creation. The old things that were in our life are all gone, and new things are generated." New things have come. The things that resemble Christ Jesus are come. And that's what we ought to live out, and that's why we should allow him to live in and through our lives each day, and we would mimic the things that David experienced in his love for Absalom. Now, in closing, David was a man, again, I mentioned, a man after God's own heart, and that's in Acts 13:22. And it echoed what I would call that heart cry of the Heavenly Father whenever he mourned for Absalom. And the Father is mourning for you and me because he died on the cross for our sins. Our Heavenly Father sent his Son to lay down his life on the cross. John chapter 4 is another good passage of Scripture. I love Scripture because it speaks to us, and we are to mold ourselves around the Scriptures so that we better understand of God's love. And this is talks about God's love. In this love of God was manifest towards us from the very beginning of time. Matter of fact, if you look in Ephesians chapter 1, he knew us for the foundations of the earth. He knew when you was going to be born. So he knew us in verse 4 that we was going to be born. So he knew us before the foundations of the earth. And then in verse 7 he says that he justified us through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. In verse 13, then he sealed us by his Holy Spirit. But that's why he manifests towards us that God has sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And then verse 10, in this love, the love of Christ, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that's the atonement, that's kind of a difficult word, isn't it? Propitiation. It's KJV, New KJ, and regular, but the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's what it comes down to. So, this morning, the Heavenly Father wants to give you that greatest gift of all, his Son, Jesus Christ, the redemption for our sin. And that's that love that David had for his son. You know, tragic things happen, and they did happen in the Old Testament, New Testament, things today. But it's because of love that gets us through all of these circumstances in our lives. And have a great day, fathers, today. Have a great day. Have a great day in the Lord. You'll be blessed. When we yield ourselves to him, you know, it's all positive, and we'll be better men, better parents, better individual, and the world will see there's something different about you when you're walking with the Lord. He's by your side. He's walking with you, directing your paths. That's the only way to go, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this message. There's so much for us to grasp here in your word. And Lord, we know that love generates the most positive outlook on life itself. And if we can live that love through our life and allow you to love through us because you first loved us, it would change the world. I would say immediately if everybody had that thought and that focus and reflected upon the Scriptures and read them and understand them because of your Holy Spirit was given to us so that we could interpret and discern what we read. And then there we apply it to our lives each day. Lord, thank you for your love. And thank you for examples like King David. Lord, he had a good life because he lived it allowed you to live through his life, but he had tragic and sorrow and grief in his life as well. But then when he reflected, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he said, "God is my refuge, my strength as well." And then in verse 10, he said, "Be still, because I know that you are my God." Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here this day that you will be the number one person, number one truth in our lives that we pattern ourselves after, that we will be good fathers, good dads, good leaders, all around a good person that we can pass on the love of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.